From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has just released a new record called Never Too Late to Call. It's Paul Thorne. Hello, sir. Nice to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
What's going on, Eric? You doing all right?
We're doing fine. How about yourself? Where are you today?
Well, today I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi, where I live. I recently had to cancel a couple shows because my voice went away, and so I'm home right now.
I was listening to you recently on NPR. You were chatting with Debbie Elliott, and I didn't know that you had contracted COVID.
Yeah.
Wiped you out right, for a bit, huh?
I got COVID at the end of 2020, actually. And what happened was my family had decided because of COVID we would have a small get-together with only 10 people. And we'd stay apart and keep our distance while we were together. And so of the 10 people that got that gathered for Christmas, 2 days after Christmas, 8 of us had COVID.
Oh,
and
man.
So it knocked me down for 2 weeks, and I was just really weak. And it was just getting up and walking to another room made you feel like you ran a marathon. It was rough, but I made it. I survived. I'm alive. And since I've survived it, I've gotten my vaccination, and I'm good.
Right on. Any lingering effects, you know, voice-wise or lung-wise in your ability to perform?
Not really.
Yeah,
not
good.
Really. I had a little voice issue recently. Yeah. Had to cancel a couple shows, but that wasn't related to COVID. It's just something different. Yeah.
Right on. Well, I know you get asked about a particular period in your past a lot, and I hope that you'll indulge me a little bit before we start talking about this new record, because growing up, I was a fan of boxing, you know, watched it a lot on TV, and I'm old enough to remember one Roberto Duran. I watched your fight, by the way, last night in preparation for us chatting, and I was astounded that you fought Roberto Duran and were quite the boxer for some time. How'd you get started with that?
Well, my uncle was a boxer when I was a kid, and I kind of looked up to him, and I wanted to learn how to box, and he started teaching me how to box, and we had a heavy bag hung on a tree limb behind the house, and he started showing me the fundamentals, and I had a fight. You know, I had my first fight, and I won my first fight by knockout. And it turns out I had some talent as a fighter.
Yeah.
And so at the height of my career, I got up in the ratings enough that I got to fight Roberto Duran on national TV. And
crazy.
And Roberto, for those that don't know, and he's probably at least in the top 10 greatest fighters of all time. And I gave a pretty good account of myself, but there's a difference in any sport than in being good and being great.
Hmm.
I was good. I was very good, but Roberto Duran was great. And that was what separated us. And you know, I had 3 more fights after I lost to Duran, and I won them all, but I got to a point where I realized that I was good, but I had taken it as far as I could take it, and I said goodbye to boxing. But I hate it when people say, why'd you quit boxing? You know, smart asses. I say, look, I didn't quit. I took it as far as I could take it. There's a difference.
Mm.
A lot of quitting is when you ain't took it as far as you can take it. Mm. I took it as far as I could take it.
You were quite good. I mean, you were
good. I was good. There's no doubt. You have to be good to some degree to get in there with Roberto Duran. But, you know, I'm proud of what I accomplished. And even though I lost to Duran, I'm very few people on this earth that can say they fought Roberto Duran. And also, I didn't just fight him. You know, I cut him when the fight was over. He and I both had to go to the hospital to get sewed up. We actually rode in the same ambulance.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So now you've gone down a path that probably includes far less getting hit in the face. That's a good thing. I know music was part of your childhood. There was a lot of music in the church, like white music, black music, a lot of different things mixing together. Had you started down a path of music while you were still boxing, or was there a point in time when you gave up that career and shifted gears?
Well, music came before any of it. I grew up singing in church. My father's a Pentecostal minister. And so I cut my teeth, you know, singing and playing guitar in the Pentecostal church. And that's really what I've always done. Mm. Boxing, believe it or not, was just something I did in the middle.
Okay.
But music was always there, always. Right. When I was boxing, you know, I wasn't a big superstar boxer, so I had to have a day job because unless you're an absolute great, you don't make that much money boxing. So I worked in a furniture factory, and I had a friend of mine. He and I would meet two nights a week and write songs. And then another night of the week, I had a gig playing in a pizza restaurant, $50 a night plus tips.
Right on.
And so music was always there, always. Mm. And just when I got through boxing, I was able to focus 100% on it, and that's how I developed a career.
Oh. Paul Thorne is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record is called Never Too Late to Call. Information at paulthorne.com. I'd love to hear a tune. What do you want to play for us first, and what can you tell us about the tune?
As I said, I recently lost my voice, and it's not, to be honest, it's not completely there now. But I'm gonna lower a couple keys and see if I can't pull this off. And so this is me and not my best voice, but I'm proud of these songs. This one's called Breaking Up for Good Again, and it's a song about the struggles and the things we have to face when you're married. And you love your mate, and you want to be with them, but sometimes you need a break. Just go take a little walk, maybe go listen to some music, go fishing or do something. But anyway, when I was writing this song, I heard my wife singing harmony through the wall, and it sounded so good that I asked her to guest on my record, and she did. And the version you'll hear on the record, she's singing on it, but she's not here right now, so I'll do it by myself. And the other exciting thing is we're going to sing this song together on the Grand Ole Opry coming up, so I'm real happy about that. So anyway, here's a song for all you married folks. Thank you. just breaking up for good again. It's over, but it never ends. We both want out, then we both want in. We're just breaking up for good again.
Yeah, that is beautiful, man. Paul Thorne is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That one's called Breaking Up for Good Again. It comes from the brand new record Never Too Late to Call, out on Perpetual Obscurity. Information can be found at paulthorne.com. Thanks for playing and sharing. It's a beautiful tune.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I wish that my voice was stronger, but I'm giving what I got at this moment.
And we're grateful for it. You talked about like doing these pizza shop gigs, playing music, having sort of a day job. When did you know that you had enough talent and opportunity that this was going to be Paul Thorne for the next 20 plus years? This is what you were going to do.
Well, what happened was, you know, I was playing in a pizza restaurant / boxing / working in a factory. And during all that time, back in that day, I was like any wannabe artist. I was sending cassette tapes out to, you know, whoever I could get to listen. And one of them wound up on the desk of Miles Copeland, who at that time was the manager of Sting and the Police. And so he heard these songs I had put on a cassette, and he liked my songs and he liked my voice. So he sent a representative literally down to the pizza restaurant. And one night I was playing in the pizza restaurant, and I noticed this guy sitting there in a suit, and he was writing stuff down while I was singing. And when I took a break, this guy comes up and he goes, hey, he goes, I work for Miles Copeland. He sent me down here. We want to offer you a publishing deal because your songs are great.
Wow.
And he said, we also want to offer you a record deal on A&M Records. And so to make a long story short, I gave my 2 weeks notice at the factory. They started giving me money to live on. I had more money than I ever, at that time, ever had. And being a minister's son, I was never allowed to go to concerts in my life. I had never been to a concert. It was against our religion. So the first concert I ever attended in my life was when I got to open up for Sting.
What?
I opened up for Sting in Nashville, Tennessee. And my show, and I didn't have a band or anything. It was just me and an acoustic guitar in front of 13,000 people.
Wow.
And people always say, Paul, weren't you just terrified? And to be honest, I wasn't. And the reason I wasn't is you have to remember, I spent my whole life growing up singing in church. So to me, 13,000 people didn't feel any different than 13 people. It was just, and so when I did the shows with Sting, it went so well that I wound up getting a whole tour opening for Sting. And then after that, when that played out, the famous guitar player, Jeff Beck, who was fixing to go out on tour, had heard of me through the Sting thing. And so I got another tour.
Wow.
Opening up for Jeff Beck. And we did about 3 months opening up for Jeff Beck. And I sort of at first became known as this guy who could come out with just a guitar and entertain a crowd, however big or small. And it played in my favor because when you're an opening act, they want you to be good, but they also want you to be easy to get on and off stage.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I wound up getting to tour with everybody from Mark Knopfler to Toby Keith.
Wow.
But what happened is, even though when I would do those shows with those big artists, even though they weren't really coming to see me, some of them liked me. Mm. And so I could come back into that same city 6 months later, and a large portion of those people came to see me do my own show. Mm. And over years of doing this, I was able to build up a following. And now most of the time, you know, I headline everywhere I go. You know?
Yeah, and here we are, like, what, 14, 15 records down the road
yeah.
for Paul Thorne.
Yeah.
So you said you weren't allowed to go to concerts, So other than the music that you were hearing in church, were you just like obsessive about listening to the radio, or where did all of the influences that comprise Paul Thorne's sound come from?
Yeah, you know, we couldn't have records. We couldn't have rock and roll records because, as everybody knows, when you play them things backwards, it's the devil talk. It's the devil talking. So,
what,
you know,
what do you get when you play a Paul Thorne record backwards?
I ain't never tried it. but anyway, yeah, we weren't allowed to have secular music. The first record I ever bought with my own money, and I snuck it in the house and I hid it, was the one of the top most demonic albums of all time, which everybody knows is Elton John's Greatest Hits. Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to hear another tune. Paul Thorne is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record is called Never Too Late to Call. Information is online at paulthorne.com. What do you want to play next?
Well, this song came into existence when I was watching a video on YouTube of James Brown while he was high on PCP. He was getting interviewed by a local news anchor, and at that time, he had just gotten out of jail for assaulting his wife, and he was proclaiming that he was a new man, he was going to make a fresh start, and they was going to go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and do a tour over there. And when the real straight-laced lady was interviewing him, she said, "Mr. Brown, how are things now that you're out of jail?" And he goes, "I feel good. I look good. I smell good. I make love good. It's all good." He was saying all this, and he was high while he was on TV. His face was sweating, and he was clenching his teeth, trying to not fall apart from tweaking so hard. And anyway, so I think it was a good idea for a song. So I just kind of wrote down some of the things, and since he was getting ready to go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, I just called this song Sao Paulo. And this is just kind of what I got out of that video. Got in some trouble, we did a little time. It's good to be free, but we don't have a dime. Ain't no time to sit around feeling insecure. The band's back together, we're going on a tour. We're looking good, we're feeling good. We're living good, it's all good. Ooh. Cipollo.
That is Cipollo. Paul Thorne is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That tune can be heard and found on his new record called Never Too Late to Call. Information at paulthorne.com. Should note for anybody that's looking up that song online that you have titled it not as the town is spelled, Sao Paulo, but more as how James Brown said it, Cipollo. This is it.
Exactly right. Yeah, I just... the way he said it, it sounded like S-A-P-A-L-O, which I like it better that way anyway.
It took a few years, quite a few years, for you to get around to releasing another collection of original tunes. You had done some gospel stuff. Why such a delay?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I hadn't put out an album of original material in 6 years, and I'm going to have to blame it on this. During that time... Like a lot of people, this ain't a new story, but it's my story. My drinking became a problem. Mm. It started out where I wasn't drinking that much, but over the years, during that 6 period of time, my drinking got to a point where my mornings were spent recovering from hangovers, and I was drinking too much, and I blame my drinking on hurting my creativity, and I'm thankful to say I quit drinking 6 months ago.
Congratulations!
And during those 6 years, I did write the songs that you're hearing on this new record, most of those, and even though I didn't write a whole lot of songs while I was drinking too much, I'm really proud of the ones I did write, because a lot of these songs on this record are talking about, you know, my drinking. You know, there's a song on the record called Apple Pie Moonshine, which it's in the song, it's talking about literal apple pie moonshine. And then it also is talking about a woman that's toxic that you keep going back to, you know, and so Apple Pie Moonshine came as a result of my drinking. And I think it's a really good song. But the reason I believe it's a good song is because any song I've ever written that resonated with other people, it usually came from something that really happened to me. And in this case, that would be drinking too much. Mm-hmm. And the hook line in the whole song, it says, the chorus says, I drink too fast, I drink too much, I cannot seem to get enough. You burn like whiskey, you're sweeter than wine. Damn you, apple pie moonshine. Mm. The thing is, damn you, because you keep making the same mistake over and over again, and that's called insanity.
There's kind of a theme through these songs, and you mentioned you wrote a lot of them during a period when your creativity was not flowing maybe as swiftly as it is now, but there's a sort of theme about reaching out, reconnecting, needing people, admitting that you need people. And you mentioned the Apple Pie Moonshine song, you know, that the songs that you have written that seem to resonate most with people are the ones that have something to do with your reality, right?
Right.
Songs that about you have written about a lot of sort of people on the fringe. Are these all people that are part of your life or have been part of your life or made up characters or a combination of both?
Well, I don't compare myself to Jesus, but not in any way, but only, but one thing he's the story of Jesus says is he was no respecter of person. He would talk to the president of the United States, or he might talk to somebody that's laying in a gutter. There was no class of people. Everybody was the same to him. And I am for people on the fringes, but I'm for everybody. You know, it's just a lot of times people in the fringes don't even get acknowledged that they even exist, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody's important in my music and in my life. You know, the only people I avoid are people that are toxic, and those people exist too.
Yeah. You mentioned the familial connection here, your wife singing on this record, your daughter's on this record. The title track of the record is inspired by your sister. What was that like for you, putting together a record that had so many family ties, direct family ties?
Well, the song, the title cut, Never Too Late to Call, came into existence by my sister Deborah, who passed away, and she was a night owl, and she was the only member of my family that would stay up really late. And so after my shows, I could call her, and every time I'd call her, I would say, "I'm sorry, Deborah, I called you so late." And she would always say, "It's never too late to call. Don't worry about it. I love you." Mm-hmm. And that became a song, it's a powerful song, and it's not a powerful song because I'm a great songwriter. I just wrote down what happened. The event itself was powerful, and the long conversations we had late at night, and the times we laughed together, and the time we cried together, that stuff is powerful, man. And all I had to do was write down what was going on, you know, and that's why the song resonates.
Yeah.
I had some people come up to me just a couple nights ago, and they gave me a bracelet. I've got it on my wrist right now. It says, "Demons are behind me." And they gave me this rubber bracelet, and I didn't know what it meant. And come to find out, their son had just committed suicide.
Oh, man.
And that song, Never Too Late to Call, it resonated to them in a different way, which goes back to what I say, though. The reason that song is powerful is because it came from a powerful situation, and it resonates with not just people who talk to their sisters or their friend that's dependable. It fits so many scenarios. You know, those parents, when they hear Never Too Late to Call, it says a different thing to them than it said to me.
Yeah.
But it said something very heavy and something meaningful.
Right on. At this point of your career, what do you love about making music? What is it that keeps you going, doing what you're doing?
Well, it's multi-layered, you know. The brass nuts parts of it, it's how I make my living. I'm real fortunate I have a talent that enables me to make a living and also get to enjoy what I do. But this might sound corny, but moments like what I just told you about where a couple says, "You know what, our son killed himself, and we don't know what to do. We don't know if we can keep going." And they said, "But this song, you know, Never Too Late to Call, it touched us." And then they want to put this bracelet on my wrist.
Yeah,
right there it is. It says demons behind me, and I've been wearing it ever since they gave it to me. And so moments like that are the payoff, to answer your question. When I know that something I was involved in, when I learned that it touched somebody. And, you know, being a minister's son, the object of being a minister is to touch people's heart. And so even though I'm not a minister, I feel like maybe I accomplished a little of what a minister tries to do, is just comfort people, make them feel better for a time, you know.
Right on. Well, the new record is fantastic, and I'm really grateful you had time to visit with us today and share your tunes. Paul Thorne is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That record is called Never Too Late to Call. Will you play one more tune for us?
Yeah, you know, I had another song I was going to play, but we started talking about Never Too Late to Call, and I feel like that's the one I need to do.
Cool.
All right, let me get my capo here. Can you hear that? I'm gonna have to do it. Hold on. Okay, this is the real one. Some nights I get intoxicated to forget about what's wrong. If you feel like a sparrow who has fallen, you are not alone. When you're wearing concrete shoes at the bottom of a lake, and it feels like your heart can't take another break, just remember that I love you, and it's never too late to call. parts that are broken from your heart down to your soul. But I see a jewel in the gutter. To me you shine like gold. When you're wearing concrete shoes at the bottom of a lake, and it feels like your heart can't take another break, just remember that I love you, and it's never too late to call. When you can't turn off the voices in your head, my phone stays on the nightstand by my bed. When you're wearing concrete shoes at the bottom of a lake, and it feels like your heart can't take another break, just remember that I love you, and it's never too late to call. No, it's never too late to call. Never too late to call. No, it's never too late to call. All right.
That is the title track from the new album of Paul Thorne, Never Too Late to Call. Paul, thanks again for sharing, man. It's nice to meet you and chat.
It's a great privilege getting to talk to you as well, man. And I hope your show continues to grow and find many more followers, because you do a good job.
Thank you.